Though we are 1 week into Easter, we're going to linger in the space of that Sunday night on that first Easter day. Last week in the Gospel of Mark, we left the disciples, the men disciples, missing in action. We talked about how the women were the faithful, devoted ones. We gave props to those women on the run, marveling at the miracle, fearfully in awe of the risen Christ who is promised as going ahead of them into Galilee. And so we roll the story ahead 12 hours, and here we find our devoted men of faith talking about their spiritual formation and how they're going to follow Jesus until the end of all days. No, we find our men locked behind closed doors. We read the doors of the house where the disciples gathered were locked for fear. Fear of the Jewish authorities. Perhaps they wondered, if they went after Jesus and crucified him, it's only a matter of time before they come for us. Imagine the wide-eyed disciples shaking in their sandals, unshowered, unshaven, unfed, because they've lost their appetites. They're on the verge of losing their wits. Darkness has fallen on that first Easter Sunday. They're a bit relieved because this anxious crew hasn't heard someone knocking on the door, a temple authority or a soldier. But then a shadowy figure emerges from a darkened corner, and the candlelight reveals Jesus. Can you imagine their responses? Perhaps Peter cried out, how in the world? Or Nathanael felt nauseous and faint. Jesus' response is, peace be with you. At that point in the liturgy movement, no one had thought of, and also with you. That would be 600 years later, apparently. James wonders, what in Golgotha Hill is going on here? Jesus stretches out his hands. The disciples stare in awe. He lifts up the edge of his robe and shows them his side. The disciples are dumbfounded. Philip and Andrew look at each other. Perhaps they smile because there's this phrase, the disciples rejoiced, we've heard in today's story. Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. And this time he adds, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. And a rushing wind fills the room. Jesus breathes upon them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And perhaps one of the disciples falls to his knees, and perhaps he even prays the psalm that we heard from today's first reading. Save me, O Lord, from my enemies. I flee to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level path. Praying for this good spirit who might lead, and finding a Holy Spirit who also breathes upon them. Jesus is alive. All those mysterious stories and elusive words that he shared on that last night at that Last Supper with them, they're coming true. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Those mysterious words coming again to their minds and maybe making sense in a new and radical way. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I told you this before it occurs, so when it does occur, you may believe. Of course, we can't know for sure if the disciples remembered any of those words in this moment. How are you at remembering and critical thinking when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're depressed, or you're lonely, or you're tired? But 2,000 years later, here on April 8th, in the second season of Easter, when we're all spry and able to take this message in, isn't this great news? The living Christ saying to us, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. And then he ends this exhortation in today's story with this proclamation and this command, forgive. And so let's pause with that for just a couple minutes, because forgiveness is such a big piece of even our movement to the table today. Bible commentator, Dale Bruner, translates Jesus' words this way when he talks about forgiveness. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Whomever sins you forgive, oh, they've been forgiven. And whomever sins you retain, oh, have they been retained. The context of today's story is that the Spirit being breathed into the disciples transformed them into being forgivers. And that's the same breath that moves in this place today. Jesus breathing upon us by his word, his presence in this place, inviting us, exhorting us, commanding us to be forgivers. One of the signature so what's of Jesus' return in this resurrection story is that right in the middle of his followers, he says, I will give you the power to be a community of forgivers. And for these first century hearers who are hearing this story written or read aloud, probably at synagogue gatherings and home groups in 85 CE, maybe this word is poking and prodding them, because these Jewish Christians in just a few decades have probably ended up dividing and dividing and dividing. They're divided over rules or rituals, or they feel betrayed by certain Christians who've changed the way of understanding of faith and following Jesus. And there's rivalry and there's envy, which I know wouldn't happen in 2018. I was reading this week how there's 30,000 Protestant denominations in the world. 30,000 different groups saying, we love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus better than you. We're into rivalry and envy too, are we not? Do we not need to hear this fresh wind, this fresh breath, Jesus breathing upon us and saying, you too be a community of forgivers. By your forgiveness, you will be known. And even in the weekly pattern of our worship, we build in this confession prayer, where after the confession, we have this intentional peace, these words of assurance, where you are assured that you are forgiven for those things that you've done, for those things that you have left undone. And we practice this way of forgiveness and receiving forgiveness so that we can then go into the world and be forgivers. To neighbors, to friends, to family members, to people who sit in the pews next to you, even our enemies. And I don't suspect that this word is being blasted from our steepletop today, but I hope that the word on the street, even in this season of Easter, might be that First Baptist Church is known as a community of forgivers. What if during the season of Easter we said the F in FBC means forgiveness? And for 50 days we practice this way of moving and being in the world as a community of forgivers. Wouldn't that be a great reputation for us in this season of Easter? And I'm not saying that forgiveness is easy or magical or we'll just snap into it or snap out of it. For some of us, some of the hurts that we carry, forgiveness really is a journey. But we pray in this season of Easter, Spirit of the living Christ, fall upon us and fashion us to be forgivers. Today's story has forgiveness at the end of it, which just tops just a great stack of themes that Jesus is declaring to his wide-eyed disciples. He's declaring peace. He's encouraging them to rejoice, even in the midst of the confusion and drama of this moment. And he's sending them, he's breathing into them this recreating, reorienting breath. One of my favorite phrases that I picked up this week as I was reflecting on this passage was this phrase called resurrection insufflation. Insufflation from the Latin word insufflare, to breathe into. So isn't that just, for you word lovers, just carry that with you for 50 days of Easter. Resurrection insufflation. This living Jesus breathing his life into our lives so that we might be this people of peace. We might be this people of joy. We might be this community of forgiveness. And so as we partake of the bread, as we drink of the cup today, as Jesus' life is given to us, as Jesus' life is poured into us, may we receive anew this recreating presence, this reorienting presence of Christ. I thought of that hymn, Breathe on Me, Breath of God, this week. One of the stanzas, breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love whate'er you love and do what you would do. And so we press on into this season of Easter, allowing Jesus' peace to be our peace, making space for his joy to fill our hearts with compassion and breathing in the breath of God. Why don't you breathe? Why don't we breathe? Breathing in the peace of Christ, the presence of Christ, that makes itself known when the community of Christ gathers in places like this on any given Sunday or places where two or three are gathered in his name. We breathe in Christ's presence, his grace, his forgiveness. Jesus doesn't ask us to do this alone or in our own power. Jesus stands amongst us, in the middle of us, with outstretched arms and hands, with healing in his side and in his whole being. And so today, receive from the table, receive the presence of Christ, and hear again the words of our risen Lord. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid.